Amen. Well, I am so, so thankful to be here today. Again, my name is Brent, originally from Owensboro, graduate of Western Kentucky University. I tell people all the time that I'm a Kentuckian by birth. You can't take that away from me, but I'm a Pittsburgher by choice. Pittsburgh, we don't call ourselves Pittsburghers. They call themselves Yenzers. Anybody ever heard that phrase before? Exactly, because it makes no sense. But that's what they call themselves, Yenzers, Y-I-N-Z, Yenz. We just go with it. They make fun of me for saying I'm country or something, and I make fun of them for making up words. So I'm so thankful again to be here. I was at Valley Creek before here. I went and spoke briefly there this morning, and just thankful to be in the area. My family is all from the E-Town, Camelsville area. But we escaped. My mom escaped to Owensboro, which is where I'm originally from. My only real deep connection to this area is when I was in high school in 2004, I started a massive brawl in a football game against John Harden and got suspended for 3 games. So I don't know if any of y'all went to John Harden, but if I was one of the guys who hit you, I'm sorry. I have since come to Christ. And God has done a powerful work in my life. But I'm so excited again, so excited just to bring greetings from Pittsburgh. I was telling Valley Creek this morning that you don't realize how blessed you are in Kentucky to just be in an area of so many churches. Whether you realize it or not, you're a part of a Southern Baptist church here. And in Kentucky, there's 2,400 Southern Baptist churches in the state, for a state of about 4 or 5 million people. So Pennsylvania is a state of about 11 million to 12 million people and has 270 Southern Baptist churches. And just put in perspective, that's not just a Southern Baptist thing, that just across the state as a whole, there's not very many churches doing things across denominational lines. Churches are closing faster up there than anywhere else in the country. But I'm so thankful to be up there, and God called my family there. I was telling some people the other day that we're in a neighborhood. We've planted a year ago. God's been doing great work. But we had a candlelight service, and I had people messaging me from our church asking, do they need to bring their own candles? Is this something that, like, we remember people who died? Like, just the things that, like, as a people from the South, we just, like, oh, we know candlelight services. We were forced to go as kids. Some churches did the midnight candlelight. It's just funny the differences in those neighborhoods. And I'm so thankful for churches like you and Valley Creek Planting, you guys that have a heart for more people to know the gospel. And so thankful for you guys to be here this morning. This morning, I'm going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians, the letter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, if you want to go on and turn there. That's where I'll be camping out this morning. And as I was going through some old messages and things like that, I started thinking about, like, what is it that maybe a new church plan or a church that's about to be truly just let go to do their thing, not that you haven't already been doing amazing work over the last few years, but what is something that maybe could be encouraging to you, and maybe encouraging to you as you prepare for the new year? And what I started to think about was this idea of hope, because obviously there's an excitement for what God is doing here. I think if you're honest, there's some excitement that God's been doing stuff in the life of your church and that it's going to continue. And then there's hope because you believe the gospel can change lives, and you know that the gospel will continue to move out across E-Town and all throughout this region for people to know him. But there's also something else kind of there too, quietly kind of sitting underneath it all. It's kind of the weight. The weight of, like, okay, now it's just us. Now, obviously, you have prayer partners and things like that, but, like, okay, now it really is us, like, We're constituting. We're members here. This is us. Like, and wait from something that matters. Wait from stepping out in faith without maybe knowing exactly how the story will completely unfold. You don't know exactly, if you're honest, how this story is going to unfold as you look into the future. But you know it is. But there's a wait for showing up. There's a way to serve. There's a way to pray, to give, sometimes wondering if it even makes a difference. Like sometimes we come and we're like, God, is this even making a difference? Like, is this, what's the point? Like, am I really here? And if you're part of a church like this, you've probably felt at least some of that. And here's the thing, I want you to know, I want you to be honest with yourself this morning as I preach. I want you to really look inward. Like I'm gonna talk about hope, and I'm gonna talk about things. Like I want you to take a good long look at your life today. I want you to really examine it. Because one of the unspoken questions in environments like this, in environments as a church planner and as a church as this, is like, what do we do when following Jesus feels costly instead of comfortable? What do we do when it means to really follow Jesus is actually costly and not just the comfort that I want? Because we like comfort. What's it mean when faith is real but still life is hard? Like, hey, I have faith, but life is really hard right now. Like, what is this about? Or what about when hope is present, but pressure's there too? Like, I have hope, but the pressure of life is pushing me and weighing me down, and it just doesn't feel like I'm going to get through. Like, yeah, there's only a few days left in 2025, but I'm not sure I'm going to make it to 2026. Like, that's not, hear me out, this is not a failure of faith. You're not there. You're not failing. That's exactly the kind of space that we're going to see Paul talk about in 2 Corinthians 4 this morning. That's kind of that space. Paul is writing to a church that expected the Christian life to look strong and victorious on the outside. That's what they expected. It was going to be strong and victorious. But what they were experiencing felt fragile. It felt uncertain. And it felt difficult. And Paul, and instead of connecting them, Paul reframes everything in this text this morning. He starts talking, he says, you are jars of clay, which means you're ordinary, you're breakable, you're limited, but filled with extraordinary treasure, meaning you're filled with the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. In other words, God never planned to build his church through perfect people. Do you realize that? God never planned to build his church through perfect people. And if you think you're perfect in here today, hang out with me for a little bit. We'll mess that up for you, okay? Like you're not, it just says, God never planned to build through perfect people or even polished strength. Like that, hey, I can do it on my own. He builds it through faithful people who keep trusting even under pressure. He builds his church and people come to know him by people who are faithful even under the pressures of life. And the truth that changes everything, it changes how you view weakness, it changes how you view the hardships of life, and it changes how you keep going when work and everything in your life is heavy. It does. So as we open God's word together, here's the truth I want to encourage you with today, is that when life breaks us down, the hope of Christ will build us up. I want you to rest in that today, is that when life breaks you down, the hope of Christ will build you up. If there's one thing I want you to take home with you, it's that. That's what I want. Because this passage isn't about pretending things are easy. It's about discovering a hope strong enough to sustain you when they're not. So let's look at our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. It said, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." Verse 13, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I speak,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also when Jesus brings us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that grace extends to more and more people. it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God, may you bless the reading of your word this morning. So I just read a lot of scripture to you, and you guys joked about everybody having the flu, and somehow my voice started to give out while doing that. So I guess you passed it on to me in the 10 minutes I've been here today. Thank you for the water. But I want to see first this, is that broken doesn't mean useless. I want you to hear this out. Brokenness does not mean useless. Look at how Paul starts this. He said, for God who said, let the light shine out of darkness has shone in your hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God, hear this out, the same God who spoke light into darkness in Genesis is the one who now speaks and shines spiritual light into your life. The same God in the beginning who said, let there be light, is the same God who awakens you to his truth and shows you who he is. Here's the thing, you didn't stumble into grace. You realize that you didn't stumble into it. It wasn't like, oh, I tripped and there was God. No, God was there. God turned the lights on for you. That wasn't something you did. You couldn't find the light switch. God had to do it for you. And that's a beautiful truth. And then Paul says this. He says, we have treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It belongs to God and not us. That verse flips everything upside down. It does. It says God places something priceless, his glory, inside of something as fragile as you. God places his glory in something as fragile as you. And in Paul's day, I mean, think about this. In Paul's day, jars of clay were cheap, ordinary, and easily broken. They were. They're not great. You didn't show them off. You used them to store whatever you needed to store. Like, you weren't showing this off. So when Paul says, that's what we are, he's saying, like, we're not golden vessels. We're clay pots. Like, we're not this golden, beautiful thing. No, we're clay pots, but filled with treasure. Filled with treasure. Our weakness doesn't diminish God's work. It displays it. Our weakness doesn't diminish God's work. It displays God's work. I mean, John Stott once said, the Christian weakness is not a problem to God, but a platform for his power. Do you realize that your weakness is not a bad thing? It's a platform for God to show how strong he is in your life. I mean, that's the point. God chooses fragile people so his strength can shine through it. And I love this. I was looking this when I was preparing the sermon. I heard about, and I'm going to pronounce this word wrong. I pronounced it wrong the first time I said it, that there's a Japanese art called kintsugi. Okay, you may have heard of this. You might know how to say it better than I do. But in this art form, what it is basically when pottery breaks, it's repaired with gold. So the cracks actually become the most beautiful part. There's actually a picture of it. So basically what happens is there's the clay pot breaks, and what happens is they will take it and form it back together with gold and with things and make what was ruined and what people see as junk and restore it to beautiful pieces of art. And it fills, and we see that that's what God does with us. Do you realize that's what God does with us? He fills our broken places with grace until his light shines through. God does that. He fills your brokenness with who he is. So think about this. If you came today feeling cracked, worn, inadequate, you should take heart. Okay, you should take heart. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people willing to be filled by his spirit. He's not looking for perfection in your life. Hear this out. Stop trying to live in perfection. You're not going to do it. You're just going to weigh yourself down. You're just going to feel more bogged down. You're just going to feel unworthy. That's not what God's doing. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people willing to be filled. Because the treasure doesn't depend on the jar. The glory doesn't depend on your strength. It doesn't depend on broken, doesn't mean useless. It means God's not finished yet. And it means God's not finished yet. Maybe you're in that. You're like, man, I've been walking through some things. My life, it doesn't make sense. There's things that are tough. Like, what's going on? It does not mean useless. It means God's not done working in your life yet. And I can tell you, since we're not standing in heaven right now, God's not done working with any of you. He's not. He's still working in your life. And it leads to the next point, that there's hope under pressure. There's hope under pressure. I mean, look at Paul. What he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I mean, that's real talk. Like, that's straight to the point. He's saying, I've been hit from every side, but I'm still here. Like, that's what Paul says. Like, man, it's been hitting me. Every left and right, I'm taking jabs, like, but I'm still here. Because God's still working. He hasn't given up. It's Paul knew pressure. I mean, think about Paul's life for a second. If you know anything about Paul, he had some physical pain, right? I mean, this dude literally got stoned and thrown outside the city, and then the disciples prayed over him, and he gets up and goes back into the city. Like, he's been in jail. He's been all sorts of things. He's probably had emotional exhaustion, spiritual battles, and yet Paul refused to give up. Why? Because he learned something we all need to learn, is that pressure doesn't destroy you when your hope is built on Jesus. Pressure doesn't destroy you when your hope is built on Jesus. But here's the challenge for us. Most believers don't crumble under persecution. Hear this out. Most believers don't crumble under persecution. They crumble under frustration. Do you realize that? We tend to not crumble necessarily under persecution. We crumble under frustration. We don't quit because we're beaten with rods. We quit because it didn't go our way. Like, man, I didn't like how that went, so I'm done. Like, I'm over it. We lose heart not because the enemy overpowers us, but because inconvenience discourages us. Like, oh, man, this is a little inconvenient. I don't like that. Like, the traffic was bad going to church today, so I just decided to turn around. Or whatever it is, Paul reminds us that we always carry in the body the death of Jesus. I mean, this is scripture. In that, he says, we always carry in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. He's saying every time life presses me, every time it squeezes Jesus, every time my life squeezes, I want Jesus to come out of me. I want Jesus to come out of me. That's maturity. That's maturity. That's what it means to have a mature life in Christ. Not avoiding the squeeze, but letting Christ come out when it happens. Do you let that happen when life inconveniences you, when things aren't going well? Are you letting Christ reign supreme, that he's really there? Because here's the truth. God allows pressure not to crush you, but to shape you. God allows pressure not to crush you, but to shape you and mold you into his image, since you are his image bearers, that you can go share the good news of Christ with others around you. He's not punishing you. He's not punishing you. He's producing perseverance in you. I mean, Romans 5 says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Produces hope. So when life closes in, don't waste the pressure. When life closes in, don't waste the pressure. Worship through it. When's the last time you worshiped through the pain and the struggles of life? When's the last time when you felt squeezed that you let it push you to your knees and not out the door and not to the other direction? When you felt struck down, that you actually remembered you can't destroy what Jesus already raised up. Because you can't. Jesus, if you're a believer in here today, there's nothing the enemy can do to take you from his hand. That's true. We believe that. You, as a believer, we believe once saved, always saved. If you've truly given your heart and life to Jesus, there's something about endurance in that. That nothing that comes at you will be able to destroy what God already raised from the dead. We as our church is named Reclamation, because we believe that God is reclaiming people from death to life, People headed for destruction, God is reclaiming them for his glory. And that's why we named our church that. Because hope under pressure means this. You don't just believe when it's easy. You believe when it costs you something. Hear me out. You don't just believe when it's easy. You believe when it actually costs you something. You keep showing up. You keep serving. You keep loving because you know the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each of you. It lives in you. And that's what separates casual faith from real faith. A casual faith through real faith, because real faith stands firm when the pressure rises. When pressure rises, when things at work don't go the way you want them to, when that person annoys you to death, like it's still there, it rises and God gives you patience and God gives you things so that his glory might shine throughout the world. And here's the thing, I think it leads to the third point, is that forever is worth it. I think we miss this sometimes, that forever is worth it. I mean, Paul closes this section. Look at verse 13. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. If you don't know, Paul's quoting Psalm 116 here. Like, this is a quote from Psalm 116, a psalm about trusting God in the middle of pain. Trusting God in the middle of pain. He's saying, I'm still talking about Jesus because I still believe in Jesus. Like, no matter what's coming, I'm going to still believe in Jesus. That's faith under fire. That's conviction that doesn't quiet down just because life gets loud. How many of you all would admit life gets pretty loud sometimes? Oh, yeah, it does. Life gets loud sometimes, but that's what real faith is. It's conviction that doesn't get quiet just because life gets louder around you. I mean, he gives a reason for that confidence in verse 14 when he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. That's the center of our hope. That's the center of our hope. Not positive thinking, not self-help, resurrection. Not positive thinking. It's good to have some positive thinking, but it ain't going to save you. I don't care what that self-help book is. It's not going to save you. I don't really know that self-help books are still much of a thing anymore. But I remember in the 90s, everybody's mom had 100 of them. Anybody? Just my mom? Okay. Maybe my mom needed a lot of help. Like, if this is live, my mom will never watch this. But hopefully not. I just told you all she needs help. Okay, but here's the thing. Jesus walked out of the tomb. Think about it. Jesus walked out of the tomb, and because he did, every believer will too. Like, you were headed for destruction. You were headed for a grave that was eternal separation from Christ. But because Jesus defeated death and walked out of the tomb, you too can walk out of that. The world can take your comfort, your control, even your health, but it cannot take your eternity. Hear that out. The world can take everything from you, your money, your wealth, your inheritance, your whatever it is, but it cannot take away your eternity. No matter what, Paul's saying, that's what keeps me going. Paul's like, I don't care how many times they stone me. I don't care how many times they throw me in jail. It will not take that truth away. It says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Paul knew the outer self was wasting away. It's like, hey, this is going away. He said, but who I am in Christ is growing daily, and because I'm going to live with him, because he's honest, his body's wearing out. The mirror is not very kind. I'm almost 40. The mirror doesn't look the same as it did when I was 20. I wish it did. I can't go work out the same way that I did when I was 20 because my knees say, no, don't do that. Like, but inside, something stronger is growing. It's a heart that's learning how to trust God no matter what. Like, if you're a believer and you're growing, your heart is growing to understand who God is no matter what. Like, and that's a beautiful thing. And then he says one of the most breathtaking sentences in Scripture, when he says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Beyond that, that's about the phrase of like eternal weight of glory. Paul is saying, everything I've suffered is producing something solid, something eternal. Like he's saying, the pain that feels heavy now will one day make the glory even heavier. Like, yeah, okay, and some of you all might be walking through some pain. Some of you all might be dealing with some things, and you're like, man, God, I just don't know when it's going to let up. But you need to understand this thing. Despite the fact that our earthly bodies will fade away, there is an eternal weight of glory where you get to be with Christ forever if you've given your heart to him. That no matter what happens in this life, they cannot take that from you. Thomas Brooks once wrote, heaven will make amends for all. Like heaven will make amends for all the things. In other words, when we see Jesus face to face, every scar will shine with his story. Everything will shine for who he is. And then Paul finishes with this perspective shift. Here at the end of the scripture, he says, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Are eternal. That's it right there. Everything you can see, your success, your pain, your possessions, they will all fade away. I know that's probably not what you like to hear today. Like you're like, it's the end of the year. Why are you telling me that everything I'm going to own is going to fade away? But it will. But everything you can't see, think about this, everything you can't see, the grace, the faith, the presence of God at times lasts forever, and it can't be taken away. It's forever. And here's the challenge for all of us. Don't build your life around what's temporary. Don't build your life around what's temporary. Don't trade eternal glory for short-term comforts. And hear this out. I'm not saying it's not like you shouldn't have a good job and you shouldn't have a nice house or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not that guy. But what I'm saying is don't make that your identity. Is that your identity? Is your identity in Christ? When people encounter you, what do they think? They think, oh, he's wealthy. Oh, he has this. He does this, this, and this. Or do they say, oh, he knows Jesus. When people encounter you, they're like, hey, they know Jesus. Like, hey, I know when something's wrong in my life, they'll stop and pray for me. They'll care for me in this moment. They'll do that. Believer, live like forever is real. Live like it's real. Your suffering today might feel endless, but compared to eternity, it's just a moment. It's just a moment, so don't waste it. Don't waste it. Let it deepen your faith, shape your character, and make you long for home even more. Make it long for home. And here, if you're here today and you don't know this truth, you don't know who Christ is, I pray today that you give your heart and life to him. I pray you do, because everything you're chasing will fade away. And most of the time, the things we're chasing, we get them and we're like, man, that wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I always think about the girls I dated before my wife. And I think about like how much effort I put in to be like, you're the right one. Like, you're it. But yet I'm not married to them. I'm married to my wife. But when I got what I wanted, it was like, oh no, that's not actually, you weren't it. We do that. We do that with jobs where it's like, man, this is what I want. I'm going to put all my effort in to get the best job ever. Then you get the job and you're like, this was a bad decision. Now my new boss is worse than my old boss. Like we do that. Stop living in the temporary and start thinking about eternity. Start thinking about forever. I love C.S. Lewis once said, aim to heaven and you'll get earth thrown in, but if you aim at earth, you'll get neither. If you aim at earth, you'll get neither. Friends, the world is fading. Whether you realize it or not, it's fading, but hope in Christ never fades. So it's time to fix your eyes where Paul fixed his, not on what you can see, but on a Savior you can trust. On the Savior you can trust today. And as I start to kind of wrap this up, as I start to kind of wind this down here, I want you to see that the hope holds it, holds you together. It really does. it really does hold you together. Paul ends the whole section with one final conviction, where he says, so we do not lose heart. I mean, he says it twice in this chapter, once at the beginning and once at the end, to say, don't give up, don't lose sight, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope, because here's the truth. If you belong to Jesus, you're going to face hard days. I don't know if you know that or not. If you're a part, if you know Christ, you're going to have some hard days. It's just going to happen. You're going to walk through seasons that stretch you, seasons that confuse you, seasons that just don't make sense and maybe even break you a little bit. But those cracks, they're not signs of God's absence. Those cracks are not signs of God's absence in their life. They're the very places his light will shine through the most. Do you realize that? They're the places God's shining through. He is. Because broken doesn't mean useless. Hope still holds under pressure and forever is worth it. I mean, that's the heartbeat of the passage. And honestly, it's the heartbeat of any church you probably go to. And I'm assuming it's the heartbeat of this. I mean, we've seen it, right? Like, you've probably seen it if you look at your church. If you've looked back over the life of the years here, like, you, and as you prepare to for next Sunday, you've probably seen prayers answered in ways you didn't expect. You probably did, I would imagine, right? You've seen prayers answered. Like, you've probably seen families restored. You've seen God show up in amazing ways. You've seen people get baptized and raised to new life who have now transformed and are with, can live with God forever. And you've probably seen God take something small and fragile and fill it with his power. You've probably seen that. Like, that's the beauty. And what, and think about this, what he's already done in the life of this church, he's going to do so much more in the future if you rest in him. Because the same God that spoke light into darkness is still speaking. He's still speaking to you today. The same God who filled Paul's weakness with strength is still filling yours today. And the same hope that held Paul in the fire is holding us right now. It's holding us right now. So church, listen, we don't keep going because we got it all together. A church doesn't keep going because we have it all figured out. Like, I bet we do. I wish we all, any church in the world probably wishes we had it all figured out. But we keep going because Jesus does have it all figured out. Jesus knows we don't shine because we're impressive. We don't shine because we're impressive. We shine because his glory fills the cracks. And we endure because we're strong. Not because we're strong. We don't endure because we're strong. We endure because our Savior is alive. He's reigning. He's living forever. So don't lose heart. Keep loving. Church, hear this out. Keep loving today. Keep serving. Keep believing. Keep shining, because this treasure we carry, this gospel, is always going to be worth it. It's always going to be worth it that people know who he is. And here's the thing, as I close, maybe today you're hearing this and you're like, man, Brent, you don't know me, but you don't know what I walked through. You don't know what I've dealt with. Like, how is it possible that God could even love me in the midst of this? I'm in a neighborhood. We planted a church, and again, one of the poorest neighborhoods in all of Pennsylvania. The high school dropout, the high school graduation rate is 55%. Most people in the neighborhood are known more for drugs and things like that. And so often I get asked that question, like, hey, I have AIDS. How can someone love me? Hey, I have this. How is it possible that God could care for someone like me who's walked through this? Or my whole family has abandoned me because of the things I've walked through. How is it possible that God could see me and care for me? But the truth is that God does. I've said it 15 times, because broken doesn't disqualify you. This is what I tell people all the time. Brokenness doesn't disqualify you. I don't care what you think is so bad in your life that it's impossible for you to feel love or to feel the grace of God. Brokenness in your life is where grace can begin. It's where grace enters in despite what that thing is. I mean, the same God who spoke, let there be light, in creation, wants to speak into your heart right now. that same God, he's saying, hey, man, I'm here. Like, you're not too far gone. Yeah, that thing in your mind that you're like, if someone ever really finds that out, they'll hate everything about me. God says, hey, I love you through that. Like, if people really knew the real me and what I act like or what my thoughts are, they won't see me the same way. No, God still sees those thoughts in your mind and loves you and cares for you because brokenness doesn't disqualify you. Here's the thing. God's not waiting for you to get it together. He's waiting for you to give it over. Do you catch that? God's not waiting for you to get it together because you're never going to get it together. You're not. I don't care how great you think you are. You're never going to get it together. God's waiting for you to give it over because Jesus came for you. We just celebrated that a few days ago. The birth of Christ, that he lived a perfect life, the one I could never live, that he died on a cross for your sins, every single one of them. And 3 days later, he rose again to prove that death and darkness do not get the last word. That death and darkness do not get the last word. And now the same risen Savior is calling your name. It's true. John 8 says, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's going on in your life, but as we wrap up this year, as you prepare for next Sunday and the glorious day and the awesome day it'll be here at the life of your church, if you don't know Christ, if you've never given your heart and life over to him, I pray you do that today. Will you bow your heads with me for a moment? I don't know where you are this morning. I'm not one of those pastors who tells you to like raise your hand or anything like that. I'm not going to do that. But if you don't know Christ this morning, I do pray that you just take a moment where you are. That you see Christ and God and who he is. That you realize that he came for you, that he loves you, that he died for you, and that he gave everything for you. If that's not you, just take a moment and pray. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. There's no special prayer. I'm not going to tell you the right words to say. There's nothing special. It's just a heart to God saying, I need you today. I need you. In a minute, I'm going to pray. And I know after I pray, there'll be some people probably up here that if you need to speak with someone, they would love to speak with you, I'm sure. But if that's you today, I hope you understand God's calling you. He loves you. He sees you, everything about you, and loves you. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share your word this morning. Thankful for this church. Thankful for your presence in this area. And I pray for them next week and everything about them and what you're doing. God, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, that they give their heart and life to you today. That they trust you completely. That they give it back. That they show that you're the God of all. The God who cares. The God who sees. That they know brokenness doesn't mean defeated. It means that there's a God whose light can shine in the darkest places. God, reign supreme in their lives today. Show them your mercy. It's in your name. Amen.